Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly nobody asked for this podcast whatsoever. I'm having a blast and I hope you are too. Besties. Oh my God. So I'm actually, in case you guys don't know, this podcast is actually seasonal based. So like I have like 5 seasons already, and today is actually the last episode of season 5. We're going to enter season 6, you know, season 6 is on the route. But yeah, today's the last episode for season 5. I can't believe I'm this far into it. Nonetheless, I don't really have a lot to say for this beginning of this episode, except for maybe this episode might be short because I did order Postmates this tonight. And you might hear my doorbell in a couple minutes. You never know. And a bitch is hungry. She's a little hungry right now. I did order, whatchamacallit, I did order sushi. I wanted Thai food, but like the Thai place I usually go to or like order from, they didn't have what I wanted on the menu, and they haven't for the past, I don't know, 3 orders I considered ordering from them, and I'm like kind of sad about it. So I was like, you know what, I'll bite the bullet. I guess I'm not gonna get Thai noodles, I'm just gonna get sushi. So I got sushi and I ordered shishito peppers, so life is good right now, and I do have that waiting for me in a couple minutes, so bear with me. Your girl is hungry. She's starving. Nonetheless, though, like I said, I don't really have a lot to say this episode. Just nonetheless, in case you don't know, this episode is going to probably be really short. 1 and 2, the program I'm using to record actually only allows me to record in 30-minute increments. So just keep that in mind, you know, just in case we go a little over the 30 minutes. But nonetheless, my episodes lately have been just kind of short because I just don't really have a lot to say, which is weird as a Gemini. But nonetheless, guys, I'll see you guys in the next section. I'm going to see you guys in a little bit. See you on the other side. Bye. And we're back, ladies and gents. Now, you know this was coming. You know the drill. So for those who don't know, I've been dedicating every episode since I came back to making podcast episodes. I'm dedicated to what's going on in the world. Just a little reminder of what's going on. And just honestly, just a moment of, you know, appreciation. A moment of just being graceful and just overall, like, appreciative of, you know, the life that we live. And as of recently, I've been dedicating every episode to what's going on in Palestine, the Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And I actually added 2 new sources to the Palestine little tab and like little section I'm going to put in the description, and also for the Congo. So the first one I added is actually this app that I downloaded recently. It's called No Thanks app, in case you don't know. In case you want to know what it is, the quick breakdown of it is, No Thanks app was developed, and I'm not sure by who, but obviously a fellow Palestinian, you know, an icon. And so they invented this app so you could either search by barcode of, you know, what brands or companies are, what's it called, either have Israeli ties or what companies do not, and what, you know, to boycott, what not to boycott. And so I found it very helpful. I actually found it on, of all things, I was watching somebody post about Palestine on my IG, and I checked a boycott list that somebody posted on IG, like drugstore, cosmetics, where to boycott, who to boycott, and whatnot. So somebody posted about, or like commented in that same video, like, hey, if you guys are unsure about what brand you're looking for, if the brand that you use has Israeli ties, then you can also download this app, No Thanks, on the App Store, and you can download it, and then you can see by, you can either search by barcode, so you can, if you're, let's say, in Target, I haven't tested it out with barcode just yet, but if you're in Target and you want to know if something is, you know, has Israeli ties or supports Israel, et cetera, et cetera, you can actually use the barcode of the item you're looking at, supposedly, I assume. And you can see, I would assume it pops up. I haven't used it just yet. But I have, they also have by search by brand name. I will say, I have searched up other brand names that are not like super commonly known. Like I know Dove is on the boycott list. I know that Starbucks is on the boycott list, all that stuff. So if I type in a name that isn't, that doesn't come up in the list, I would say double check, just like kind of do a quick Google search, because I've been hearing that The Ordinary skincare cosmetic brand, I use The Ordinary like it's nobody's business. I had no idea. And I actually always buy in bulk when it comes to The Ordinary. So I will not be buying from The Ordinary no longer. But I actually found out that they do support Israel. I actually haven't done a quick Google search, but I tried typing it in the No Thanks app and it didn't pop up. So a part of me is like, wait, is it for real? Actually, you know what? I do have my phone with me. Let me double check because I want to make sure you guys get the insight, the tea. Well, not tea, just like insight, essentially. Yes, The Ordinary does pop up and it is indeed on the boycott list. But for some reason, I would type in other brand names that I have been hearing that they're on the boycott list and they don't pop up. So like I said, just do a quick Google search before you either purchase or you check the app. So just do a quick Google search. I also recently found out that Kava, the food place, the CEO, supports Israel. So I was like, oh wow, this is shattering to me because I love Kava, but there is Chipotle. So I will be going back to Chipotle. But nonetheless, guys, just so this is like what I've been, you know, learning this week. I downloaded the app, very helpful, very direct, super accessible. And so with that being said, that is one source I wanted to add, and just like an app, you can go in the app store and type in No Thanks app and it'll be like a little, I believe when I downloaded it, it was like a red icon, but I think now when I downloaded it, it just is like a green icon. So, but it'll probably be the first like one that you see. It's very easy. It's like right in your face. You can't miss it. And so with that being said, that's what I added to the Palestine sources. And the one I added for the Congo, it is actually a tweet of just like Congolese women just explaining what they've been dealing with and going through. I'm just going to say right now, trigger warning, rape, genocide and stuff like that. So watch the video for yourself. And just also that thread was very informative. And also I'm personally still learning about that more and more. It just feels like, you know, the world is overwhelming. You're like, damn, like all of these things are happening. It's like, okay, like we have to give attention to each of them. It is very overwhelming. I do personally feel overwhelmed, but then again, we can also just take the time every now and then just be like, okay, let's watch this documentary. Let's watch this video. Let's take the time to actually see what's going on. And so I actually added it to the Congo sources. It is a, I believe, either a TikTok video or type of like video that you can see on like TikTok or IG Reels. So it's all over TikTok, I believe. So somebody posted it on Twitter. And so I decided to add it because, you know, it's important to be aware of what's going on, even as heart-wrenching as it is. It's the reality and it's an unfortunate reality. So with that being said, I am here to just remind you that be grateful, be thankful for the life that you have, and that the problems that you have now will not be the problems that you have in 10 years, 5 years, even 3 years, maybe, you know. And with that being said, it's important to take some time to be grateful and appreciative of what you have and what you're, you know, seeing in the world. And you're like, damn, like it really could always be worse, and it could be a really harsh reality, like it is for many folks in these countries. And it's always important to just, you know, take that moment of time for yourself to be like, okay, like I'm grateful for what I have. I'm grateful for the family, the loved ones I have, the life that I live, even though it's hard, even though we live in a, you know, questionable time more than ever right now, post-pandemic economy and stuff like that. Obviously, we all have our own, you know, issues and problems, but we all have solutions to them, unlike these countries and these people that don't have solutions and they're not being heard and not being cared for and being tended to like they should be. It's so hard to transition out of this, but just a reminder, once again, you're listening to this on technology, you're listening to this with headphones, probably most likely $100 headphones, if not more. You're listening to this on a phone, on a computer, and so on and so forth, on some form of technology. I'm using technology at this moment to record this, provide you a service, provide you, just overall a service. And all of that is already just something that we take for granted. We always take things for granted as human beings. And it's also important to take some time to, you know, step away and be like, whoa, like this is something I need to be more appreciative of and grateful for. And with that being said, I'm going to transition into today's episode. It's a little more lighthearted. It's a little more like silly, but also a little more serious. But with that being said, I will see you guys on the other side. Please take care of yourselves. Download the No Thanks app. Just keep updated what's going on in this world. And don't be ignorant. Just it's really not that hard to be ignorant, or like it's really not that hard to not be ignorant. Just be aware of what the fuck is going on. Don't be selfish. We are humans. We need each other, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you like it or not. Humans need each other. So don't be selfish. Don't be egotistical. Don't be a dick. And so with that being said, I will see you guys in the next section. Bye. And we're back, fellow aliens. So today's episode you already read. And I just want to remind y'all that it is the program that I'm using, it only allows to record in 30-minute increments. So with that being said, we're going to skedaddle and get this through. And also, your girl is starving. And so as I get into today's episode, I feel that I think I did already an episode on adulthood already. I haven't actually re-listened to it before this episode. So this is repetitive. Well, it's just that bad. So I always like to take inspiration from whatever I've been dealing or reflecting on for the week as to, you know, for the podcast. And so with that being said, I was listening to Chris Clemens's podcast, Unhinged with Chris Clemens. You guys should get into it. It's like my favorite podcast for a silly, goofy time with some serious moments. And he recently, for you guys that don't know, I'm like a huge Chris Clemens fan. And also he is a comedian from Delaware. I've been literally obsessed with him since like I saw him on like my Explore page on like YouTube. He went viral for like posting, like he was interviewing strangers at like the Paul brothers' houses when they were living in like LA or something. And when like the Paul brothers were like super popular and popping when they first moved to LA, and he was like interviewing them, and that's where he went the most viral. And I was like, wait, stop, you're kidding. And I found it, and he was actually hilarious. He was so fucking funny in the video with his like commentary and his like antics. And so with that being said, I kind of just like fucked with him ever since. And with that being said, I don't really have too many notes actually for this episode, because I feel like it's just going to come naturally. You know, complaining about adulthood as an adult is just so natural for us now. But yeah, so I was listening to Chris Clemens's recent episode about adulthood versus like the reality of it. And I was like, this is so real. I feel like I've been really reflecting the most this week on like adulthood, what that looks like, what that means, and just overall, like, really sitting with that idea, like, damn, like, I'm for real an adult. Like, today, oh my god, I was doing the most adult things, and I was, like, scared. I was like, wait, I'm so scared. Like, I need somebody to hold my hand low-key. Like, I'm so scared. Like, when you have to go to the doctor sometimes, or, like, for me, like, having to go to, like, my gynecologist or whatever, like, I know I'm healthy. Like, I know I am. But it's, like, you know, like, that panic. And also today, I recently found out that if you're a woman listening to this, I need you to realize that, like, apparently I just found out as of recently that, like, you're supposed to get a pap smear every 3 years, like every 3 years. And I was like, bitch, no, I thought it was every year you're supposed to get one for cervical cancer and whatnot. And then the doctor I saw, or like I Googled this after, and she was like, yeah, girl, like, she was literally gaslighting me. I was like, wait, stop, back up. Like, what are you talking about? And so, I like Google this right after. I was like so mad. I was like, fuck you, bitch. Like, there's no way that you're right. I'm sorry. Like, you're just gaslighting me here. Fuck off. Like, I've dealt with gaslighting gynos, gaslighting doctors, as we all probably have, which is unfortunately a very common experience that a lot of people do share. Like, the doctor's like gaslighting you. You're like, I feel this way. They're like, no, you don't. So when that happened, I was like, hello, bitch, what? What do you mean I'm supposed to get a pap smear every 3 years? What the fuck? I was never told that. I was never told that. Baby, I heard it was supposed to be every year. My mother told me it was every year, and that you're supposed to get it the second you turn 21. And guess what I did? The very second I turned 21, I got a pap smear. All right? So don't tell me how to run my own fucking body. And so with that being said, I was told it was 3 years, every 3 years now. And I was like, bitch, fuck you. You're not going to gaslight me into thinking otherwise. And so I Googled it, and I was like, wait, she kind of has a point. I was like, oh wait, actually technically it's supposed to be every 3 years. Oopsies. But with that being said, am I going to listen to that? No, actually, I don't plan on it. I'm going to get one every year. I don't really see the point of, like, you know, not doing that. I'm just that much of a germaphobe and that much of a germ freak and that much on very much caring. What's the term? Hypochondriac? When you're like obsessed with like being healthy and stuff. Let me Google it because I think that's the word, hypochondriac. Wait, we might have to Google it, guys. Hypochondriac. Yes, hypochondriac. Someone that is that, yeah, according to Google, hypochondriac, a person who is abnormally anxious about their health. Yeah, that's me. I think we all kind of are in our own way. So with that being said, that's why I'm like, I will be getting it actually every year. I don't care what you say. And if a gynecologist turns me away, bitch, I can go to the next one. Don't play with me. I will only go to a gynecologist that listens to me. Sorry, not sorry. I can have a whole episode dedicated to gynecology, but bitch, believe me, I definitely can. I would love to get into that because I've had my fair share of terrible experiences and my fair share of really great ones. But with that being said, peak at adulthood right now. So like I said, I was listening to Chris Clemens's recent episode about adulthood versus the reality of it. And also, that's just what I've been dealing with this whole week, you know, just like reflecting on adulthood, what that looks like, how I've been coping, how hard it is sometimes, how actually nice it is sometimes. And that's really where I'm at right now. And I was telling my therapist this, I believe Friday, so just yesterday, I was telling her like, just like that's been my reflection of the week kind of thing, what I've been dealing with the whole week. Like, yeah, I've been just kind of reflecting on adulthood, what that means, what that looks like. And for me, I really see I'm really me personally trying to embrace adulthood. And the reason is because like you hear everyone in the world, even before you were an adult. I want people that are like 24, 25, at the most like 30 at this point to go back in time for a second. Like go back in time, put yourself in your shoes of like when you were 15, 16, whatever. When you were like young, like a teenager, whatever you dealt with at that age, whatever you saw, whatever you lived, et cetera, et cetera. I really want you to realize that like we all aspire to be adults, to not answer to anyone, to not like to fit, like basically when you were a kid, you fantasized about having freedom, right? You fantasized about having so much freedom, so much, you know, free will, you know, decisions that you can make on your own. And I just think that once you get to that point, like me being 24, 25 this year, RIP, dog, RIP, that when you get that finally, you like make your own decisions, you live for yourself, and you finally have all that freedom, you get anxious because you're not fully prepared. You're not fully prepared. You're like, oh, fuck. When it came down to taxes, when it came down to health insurance, I was like, huh? Like, what are you talking? What? Like, and so with that being said, like, you're just not fully prepared for it, which also, by the way, you can't really fully prepare for adulthood. But what you can do is just kind of like when you're not 18, you can also just learn like every now and then, like learn about finances, like just the very gist of it. Or at least have someone that does know about it, like an older sibling, a parent, hopefully. I feel like the generation of the millennials and Gen Z are going to be like really good parents in the sense of like financially preparing for their personal futures. One and two, if they have kids, their kids' futures, because they were never taught finance. So we're the generation. I feel like millennials and Gen Z really do have a lot more in common than we think. We really did kind of live the same life. And also me, I had an older sister. She's 35, 30. Yeah, I think she's 35 this year. I've lost count, me personally too. She's also lost count. I asked her like, how old are you? And she's like, dude, I don't even know. I've lost count. I'm like, that's low key kind of fair. Like, I totally get that. And so that means I also lost count, but like, nonetheless, my sister and I have mentioned a couple times on this podcast that like my sister and I are 10 years apart. Right. And since she's 35, I'm going to be 25 this year. And with that being said, like I feel like her and I kind of grew up the same way only because when she was super into the 90s, I would listen to that when I was a kid, when I was super baby, like I was a little baby. And then I got older and she would put me onto like cool things and stuff like that. She'd be like the cool sibling that I had. She still is my cool sister. Don't get me wrong. She's still cooler than me. I'm gonna be honest. She's my cool sister. Love her to death. But yeah, she was cool then. She was cool when I was growing up and she's still cool now. I think that she will always be my cool older sibling, my cool older sister. And so, and she just keeps getting cooler, by the way. I know that y'all apparently hate your families and like hate your relationships with like your siblings. Me personally, I would die for my sister. So don't play with me. I don't know why it's so normalized to have like relationships that you like literally insult your sibling and like go out at each other, but like, oh man, we love each other though. It's like, do you though? That's just not normal to me. Me personally, I grew up with actually liking my sister and actually respecting her boundaries and respecting her time and privacy. Like, I'm normal. I don't know. Y'all that are like say, ah, fuck my sibling. Ah. Or that Kim K and Courtney drama, like going at each other's necks. I'm like, dog, what? I would never put my hands on my sister. What the fuck? Like, and I know she wouldn't put her hands on me. So I don't know why y'all normalize that. To me, it's very bizarre, but I digress. Nonetheless, though, like, I grew up with a cooler sister, and she kind of put me onto like 90s stuff. She showed me all about the 90s. She showed me all the 90s music. And then when I got older, I was like, damn, this shit's fire. And that's why I love the 90s. If I had to choose between any era of my life that I could live full and wholeheartedly, it would definitely be the 90s. 1,000,000%. None of y'all can convince me otherwise. Maybe latest, like 80s. Like, I'd be down to like be born in like 85 or something. And then live 5 years. Whoa. Live like 5 years of, what is it? Live 5 years after, like, of the 80s and then, like, all of the 90s of the decade. Oh, that'd be so ideal. If I could pick my birth year, I would have probably picked 85, low-key. Still June, though. Still Gemini rights. Duh. Gemini. Oh, yeah. Still June. Early June. And 1985, I would like to pick. Same birthday, just different year. Me, personally. But, you know. There I go again, assuming and wanting to be older. But nonetheless, with that being said, I'm going to actually separate this podcast episode into like kind of like two-ish concepts. The adulthood for our parents and our older siblings versus like for millennials and Gen Z. And right now for adulthood for our parents, I feel like since I'm the youngest in my family, it's really fascinating to hear like what life was like for my parents when they immigrated to the States, especially if you have immigrant parents. It's so interesting to hear like from their lives transitioning out of their country into like the new, like the US, and seeing what that looks like for them, what happened to them. And for those who do not know, I did used to live in Miami. I'm not from Miami. Don't get it twisted. I am not from Miami. I am not from Florida. I was born in LA. I grew up in Miami and / Boca. Or the Fort Lauderdale area, if you will. And I ended up having my adulthood all in LA. So my childhood was in Florida. My adulthood is here now in the present day in Los Angeles. West Coast, best coast. I will ride and die all in that hill. So don't play with me. And so with that being said, like, I say all this because, like, my mom at one point, she was working for this one company. I don't remember the name of it, or I do. I'm just not going to air that business out. But she was working for this company, and she eventually found out that they were actually moving their offices to Miami. They couldn't afford the rent in LA, so they were like, yo, we're going to move to Miami. We're going to if you move with us, you will have a secure job. We'll put you up in housing. Like, don't even worry. All expenses will be paid for. Nonetheless, like, don't even worry about it. And my mom was like, oh, shit. Like, she was considering it, right? And this, I think, when my sister was actually a baby. So I was not even born yet. I would have been born in Miami, low-key. But then, like, my mom never ended up going because my dad's job was in LA. And he was, like, working here, like, full-time. So she never really got to, like, move to Miami when the time was offered. And I think it's so crazy that when my mom first told me the story, she was like, I told her, I was like, wait, so, like, you mean to tell me you would have had a job security, you would have lived in Miami, and you would have been, like, actually, well, like, put up, like, all expenses paid with this job, and you didn't go for whatever reason? And then we ended up moving there at some point in time? I was, like, blown away. I was like, wait, so that means you mean to tell me that I was almost born in Miami, one, and two, I ended up living there anyways? Like, that's crazy to me how, like, the world works like that. The universe really works like that. Like, you're not, you like may run from it your whole life, but like, what's it called? You might like run from a decision at some point, or you just never make the decision in the moment. And then eventually it just comes back to you, just like kind of like in a little gift to you. And you're like, oh shit, like now I can't ignore it, you know? And I don't know. I don't know what drove my mother to like have us move to Miami. I still don't know to this day. I really don't know. I think I asked her and she was like, to meet your family because you have all your primos there. And I was like, period. I mean, down, you know, that's how I'm super close with my cousins. But nonetheless, I was like, damn, so you mean to tell me like it almost happened already? Like, that was, I thought that you just woke up one day and just wanted to move there, but apparently in the past, like, it almost happened. What the fuck? I was like shocked, bro. I was shocked. And so I say all this because it's like, that was the reality for my parents. Like, they almost moved to Miami. They almost lived there. I believe they actually honeymooned in Miami. They like went to Florida and they like on their honeymoon, that was them. But they eventually ended up finding themselves in California or something like that. All I know is that they basically really were looking at Miami for a long period of time. They honeymooned in Miami before they had kids. They almost stayed there, but they didn't. Then the second time was my mom getting a job offer and she just didn't take it for whatever reason at the time, right? Because my dad had a job in LA already and he was working full time. He was working on his business and whatnot. And my sister was already a little kid, so she didn't want to like also take my sister when she was a little kid all the way to a different city, all the way to a different everything. And so I say all this because like that was the reality for my immigrant parents. Obviously, if you ask your parents like what their story is, it's going to be different for all of us. But nonetheless, they all came to the States, right? And they all had their different lives. And so my mom would eventually, like, you know, every now and then she would, or my dad too, like would say like what it was like to live in LA, you know, around the 70s and stuff like that. And it was so interesting to me because like my mom, she would talk about like the gas prices. She'd be like, yeah, when we immigrated, like gas was like only a couple cents a gallon. And I was like, you're fucking lying. Like, I know you're lying. Like, don't play with me right now. Like, that's not real. Like, that's not true. And then my sister, she'd be like, yeah, gas was like $2, $3 at the most. Like, it was like, you know, around that. It was only a couple dollars at that point. Now, whenever my parents tell me about gas prices, about when they were younger and stuff like that, when they first started driving, when they first immigrated and stuff like that, for me, I like laugh because it's like so funny to me. Like, that was their version of adulthood, right? Their version of adulthood was so much more different. And we can obviously argue back and forth what that really means. Like the actual statistics and the research as to why things are different, why life is different for, you know, millennials and Gen Z. But I have never lived in that era, nor will I ever live to see that. I will never live to see a couple cents worth of gas a gallon. I will literally in this lifetime never see that. That's why, like, when I do get a car, y'all, I am not getting a gas car. You bitches got me fucked up, and I'm way too pretty to be pumping my own gas. Fuck that. I had to fill gas the other day for my car, and I was like, absolutely not. People were looking at me weird because I was wearing gloves. I'm like, you guys look at me weird now, okay? You guys think that this is weird now, but best believe, do you know how many germs are on that fucking gas pump, that gas button, you putting in your card information? Fuck no. You got me messed up if you think I'm doing that shit. Fuck no. I'm way too pretty to go to a gas station. That shit is like so ill to me. I hate going to the gas station. It's ugly. It's not a good time. I'm way too pretty for that. And it's just not for me. Yeah, no, I don't do that. Way too pretty for that. And that's a very valid excuse. I'm a girl. I'm just a girl. I have dainty little hands for a reason. That should not touch a gas pump. But nonetheless, I digress, right? So that was one example I put in my little notes, if you will, like gas prices for my parents. I was like, you're lying. And I also realized this because I was telling my therapist this about like adulthood being like the big realization and self-reflection I've been dealing with this whole week. I was like, I will literally never live to see a couple cents worth of gas. I will never in my life ever witness like $40 gas a gallon. I will never see that in my lifetime. Not in the next one. Not in the lifetimes after that. Never will I ever see that. Neither will my sister, you know, neither will she. Even though she had it cheaper, when I started driving for the first time, gas was already almost $4. So don't fucking play with me, all right? Gas was already almost like $4. It was definitely in the $3 realm already. No, actually, wait, it was already $4 because I remember there was an election that passed when I was 16 and I couldn't vote because I was 16. And, or no, wait, I was like 18. I was freshly like 19 though, I think. And I remember I voted for like lower gas. There was something on the ballot in regards to like figuring out lower gas prices. And I remember the local Chevron by my house went from like $4 to $3 and then back to $4 at one point. And it was like around that cusp of like the election time where there was like voting going on. And so I voted for whatever thing on the ballot was like to, you know, lower gas prices and stuff like that. And that's what happened. For like a couple weeks, and then it went right back up to like $4 again. So I never really will ever experience anything lower than $4. Like, I never will. And so for me, that was a big realization. It really made me upset, really sad. I was like, damn, like, then why even have me as a kid? Like, that's not fair. That's not fair. And I'm talking about like even like pre-pandemic too. Pre-pandemic, like life was already expensive. Let's not get it twisted, you know? Like life was expensive, but not like, you know, this level what we're dealing with now. But my point still stands. It's like, yo, like it was expensive-ish, but you could work through it. Like it was obviously manageable to some extent. Now it feels like it's over the top, dude. It feels like it's oversaturated, over the moon expensive for no fucking reason. And just pulling prices out of their ass at this point. That's why I'm fucking with Aldi. Aldi got me like no other. Aldi's the real one. Aldi is real. She's that bitch. I will always buy my protein from her. Ooh, my food is here, guys. And so, kind of had to speed this up. But nonetheless, that was one of my examples I am bringing to the table today, you know? And I just find it so fascinating that I will, as the younger sibling, as the youngest one in this family that I live, I will never experience anything cheap in my life. I will never, ever experience anything affordable, like literally ever again. Like it's just the harsh reality of it. So when I was telling my therapist this, I was like, damn, like at some point I wish my parents didn't have me to like not deal with this, because it's like to a certain point, it's like ridiculous. You know, it's like at this point it's like laughable. And so we can also go back and forth about the cost of living, obviously, like, you know, inflation. We all know that we can all agree that common sense wise, like cost of living was, you know, much lower back in the day. And also the price of wages and stuff like that, salaries were matching the income, matching however much the economy was going, and also just like matching the price, you know, cost of living and amount of payment was like pretty, you know, doable, livable. Now it's like borderline impossible. And so I'm at a big, like huge in between of like, do I ever want to move out so I can actually, do I ever want to move out in the sense that like, I want to move out for my freedom and sacrifice the finances that I do have? Or do I want to stay as much as I can in the house that I live in now, like my childhood house, not pay anything, just kind of pay like, you know, groceries, certain, you know, utility bills and stuff like that, or taxes on the house, like those things that, yeah, I'm down to do those things, of course. But like, at some point, it's like, is it worth it? But is it not? You know, it's like, you have to ask, I've been asking myself this, like this whole year, all of last year, you know, I know a lot of people that are younger than me, and they have their own places, their own apartments. And it's like, I see, and I understand why, and I respect it. But to put that amount of pressure on yourself if you really don't have to is like something I've learned. It's like, if I don't have to do that, I'm not going to, you know? And I don't have to currently do that. Like, I don't have to. And I'm very honored and privileged to say that. I'm fully aware that's a very privileged sentence to say. But it's just the truth of it all. You know, cost of living is that expensive, that tough. So it's like, you have to work like, what, 3 jobs to even make ends meet, especially not even considering, you know, kids, if you have kids in this equation, or, you know, other people that depend on you financially in this equation, all of these things and above. And so you already know, I mean, like, I feel like I'm already saying something you already know. And it's something that's like pretty obvious. It's pretty like tough to hear. It's like just adulthood in general is just whack, dude. But I do want to come with the pros of it, right? There are some pros to like, you know, being an adult, right? Me personally, I think that my favorite thing about being an adult is not having to say where I'm going. I don't need to say where the fuck I'm going. I don't want somebody texting me at all hours of the night being like, where are you? When are you coming home? I don't want that shit. I will get home when I fucking get home, okay? And also, I know myself, my family knows me. I'm not a party animal. I never really have been. So I know for a fact I'll be home late as like 2. To maybe at the most, if it's somewhere far away downtown or something like that, 3:30 kind of vibe. By no means am I going past that. I don't party until the sun comes up. I don't do that shit. I'm a grown woman. I'm tired, okay? And I'm also gonna be 25, dog. I'm gonna be fucking 25 years old, dog. I am getting old, y'all. Knock on wood, but my hips say otherwise. But nonetheless, though, I think I'm going to wrap this up by saying you probably listening to this already are suffering from the recession and the inflation. We already know. It's very obvious. And I'm just stating the obvious. But that was basically like my take on adulthood recently, as of this week. You know, my pros of adulting is I don't got to answer to nobody. I don't have to answer if somebody's asking me where the fuck you at. That's not my business. That's not my responsibility. I will get home when the fuck I get home. Okay. Three, I want to say another pro of adulting is like, you do have decision over your life, which can be a pro and a con, okay? But also, like, you kind of, like, go through enough experiences in your life. I would at least hope so, that you live enough experience and live enough life to, like, you know what's right from wrong aside from what you are taught. Me personally, I kind of had to figure out on my own what's right and what's wrong. And if it doesn't sit right with you, don't fucking deal with that. Don't deal with that. If you don't sit right with someone, if you feel like something is off, if you feel like something is weird, something is just not right, boom, you don't got to deal with that. When you're younger, like, when you're just learning about being an adult and when you're just learning about dealing with people, relationships with others, you kind of just, like, let a lot of shit slide. You let a lot of shit slide. But as you get older, I am not letting shit slide if I don't want it to slide. If I don't like what's happening, if or what somebody's doing or what their intentions are or if they're being sus, I'm like, I don't have to fucking deal with that shit. I don't. Whether as in high school, like, you see these bitches every day. You see the people you don't like every day, nearly every day. So it's, like, kind of inevitable. Especially also in college, I feel like college is, like, the first taste of, like, what the real world is. Or at least the real world in the sense of, like, you're half independent, but you're not. And then when you're, like, a full-blown adult or you're done with college and whatnot, or you decide to not finish or you do graduate and you're like, oh, shit, what am I going to do with my life? That's what every college graduate goes through. I have not graduated and I feel like I already have been through that. And I still am dealing with that, you know? But I have so many episodes touching upon, like, you know, what it means to be an adult and what it means to, like, deal with that, cope with it, live with it, and just live as if, you know, however you want. And I want everyone to take away from, like, my final thought for this episode is, like, think for yourself, truly. All the answers that you need, all the answers that you seek, all the clarity that you need, stop asking people for advice unless you genuinely are at a crossroads and, like, you have considered everything. You actually don't know in your heart of hearts, like, what decision to make or what to deal with or how to act upon something, et cetera, et cetera. And you actually do need outside input, by all means, do it. But me personally, like, when I do ask people for advice, I already know what I want to do. I'm just, like, seeking the validation for it, which I'm also trying to work on. I don't want to seek validation from others besides myself. But that's really where, like, it comes down to. Like, you always, like, people always say, like, I need advice, I need advice. It's like, dog, you know what to do, though. You already know what decision, you already made the decision in your head. Why are you asking outside sources when you already know you're going to do what the opposite of what they tell you? Or they're going to agree with you and you're like, oh, shit, I should have just taken the initiative, you know? So just think for yourself as an adult. Think for yourself. No one's going to think for you. Nobody even wants to think for you. No one. People would say, like, oh, yeah, you always have to be caring of others. I'm like, I absolutely agree. But if we're at, like, if we keep bumping heads and I'm just like, it's going in one out, it's going in someone's ear out the other, I have no patience for that, nor should you. Be a grown adult. Be about yours. Be about your business. Mind your own business. Do right by others and just keep it pushing. Life goes on, and life goes on with or without you. And so with that being said, I conclude today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Much love to you all. And I will see you guys in the next episode.